Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
If you love pop music, can't wait for the next Adele album or Taylor Swift to drop, and you have an actual life, there's probably no way that you can get face value tickets to any of those artists' concerts. Poised on some online site in the middle of the day only to watch the tickets sell out in seconds? And now where do you go? Who has time for that? There is StubHub. They have at least two VIP Adele tickets on sale for $10,400. That's about a 1,000% markup. The radically changing music industry has revalued the live experience from decades ago. Now it is the high-resolution ultra upgrade from the artist's recorded album, which you can probably get as a free download if you have 5 minutes and the digital sophistication of a bath mat. David Taylor is a concert promoter and the owner of Empire State Concerts. He joins me now from Buffalo. David, welcome.
Hello.
Also with us is Jeff Ely, who is an economist at Northwestern University. Jeff, welcome.
Good to be here.
So, David, who's the bad guy here? Who's the enemy? There's an evil doer that's controlling all of the tickets in the universe, right, David?
The automated bots, the ticket bots, and the companies that run them, and the companies that purchase from the companies that run them, are now pretty much controlling the best inventory to most, not only concerts, sporting events, and with a little bit of research, you'll find out that even the best restaurants in town have bots snapping up the reservations.
And these bots are essentially software apps that are connected to somebody's credit card, and they go around and hunt for these tickets and load them up, and then it's up to this person now, this middle man or middle woman, to resell them.
Yes, I understand it, yes, and it's oftentimes a room full of people and multiple credit cards. And it's just continuous dialing and literally blocking out the phone systems so people can't call in, and internet systems to hold hostage the inventory of a certain event.
That's David Taylor, who's a concert promoter in Buffalo, New York. Now, Jeff Ely, David describes this as a technological issue, but it seems to me it's also a pretty classic commodity issue. There's high demand for something that after a certain date, the value goes to zero. That's a formula for exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, so basically the bots and all of the ticket resellers are just carrying out a basic economic function of arbitraging tickets whose prices are set initially far too low and, you know, frankly, purposefully by the artists, and then buying those tickets and reselling them at their market price. And, you know, it's an interesting question why the artists allow this to persist. I mean, it's not like they don't know what's going on, and it's not like they couldn't change it if they wanted to. In fact, you know, it's well documented that Adele and many of the big artists really only put a tiny fraction of the ticket inventory actually up for public sale and accessible to these bots. Almost all of it is sold directly to, you know, intermediaries, which ultimately wind up in the hands of brokers. They want to maintain the fiction that the price of an Adele ticket is $50 and still actually make all of the money that they're making by selling them through back channels to resellers who ultimately profit.
All right, Jeff, so let's put that to David. Are the artists happy with the situation as it is, and are they, in a sense, gougers?
The artists don't see any of that profit from the third-party ticketing reselling companies. I know the venue doesn't. I don't. For an example, I have a show coming up in April with the band Disturbed. It went on sale last July. It sold out in minutes, and this is in a 1,700 capacity room. The artist said, listen, the tickets have to be no more than $39.50, and they will set a ticket price which is comfortable for a particular market in that the consumer won't have to overspend. Some markets are more affluent than others and therefore can afford higher ticket prices. Well, if you go now to Ticket Stub, just that site alone, as I did just recently, they have listed about 130 tickets for sale. Now, let's presume they sold some already. So they've had at least 10% of my ticket inventory for sale. Their lowest ticket price is $109. Their highest ticket price is $397. The artist isn't going to see any of that money. Disturbed is not going to see any of that money, and they don't want it to happen. But there's nothing really we can do about it because at least in New York right now, there isn't a law for it.
Jeff Ely, what do you say about the artists actually benefiting or not?
Well, it's absolutely true that for the tickets that are released for public sale, actually at that face value price, whoever manages to snatch up that ticket is going to either resell it at a profit or use the ticket themselves. But the fact is that for the big name artists, a very tiny percentage of their actual inventory is going up for public sale. Most of it is sold internally and ultimately winds up in the hands of brokers with which the artists and the promoters have contracts. And these contracts ultimately compensate the artists. Someone like Adele is not stupid enough to put tickets up for sale at a price where she knows that the only people who will be able to purchase it are the bots, and that those bots will capturing all of the profit of her creative work. Adele knows, and these promoters, Live Nation, they know how to capture the revenue at the same time without making Adele look like a price gouger. And the way to do it is to sell it through back channels and to maintain the fiction that these prices are low by just putting a tiny supply on the market that vanishes in seconds.
Jeff, highest price you've ever paid for a ticket for a concert or a sporting event?
I was very close to purchasing Grateful Dead tickets to their last show in Chicago for upwards of $200, but high school friend couldn't make it into town for the weekend, so we didn't go. So,
David, highest price you've ever paid for a sporting or a concert event?
Pearl Jam, and I paid, I think, $100, probably about 15 years ago.
I paid $60 to see Bob Dylan in 1974.
74? Well, today that would be probably...
600.
Yeah, I would think
easy.
At least. Yeah.
Easy.
You know, sometimes we get people complaining that the ticket price is too high. And it's like, what are you talking about? They're $35. No, I just spent $100 on it. Well, they go to the wrong websites. They need to go to the venue's website and make sure that that's where they're going. Because a lot of these bot companies will buy up the Google ads, so they're up at the top and in the searches. But they need to go right to the venue's website.
David Taylor is a concert promoter and owner of Empire State Concerts in Buffalo, New York. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Jeff Ely is Charles and Emma Morrison Professor of Economics at Northwestern University. Jeff, thanks to you.
Thanks.